This podcast is brought to you in part by ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Whether you're buying or selling a home, condo, or any type of property, trust Amanda to help match you with up to three top agents in your area. ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Rock stars from Washington, D.C. This is the Rock on the Money podcast, episode 108. It's time to talk about saving, investing, and protecting all those hard-earned monies. We're here to coach you along that path to retirement and financial independence. I am Craig, your Dave Ramsey Master Financial Coach, along with Amanda. She is a corporate in-house lawyer and real estate referral agent, and we're so grateful you've joined us. Check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/rockonthemoney or our website at rockonthemoney.com. How you doing, Amanda?
Hey, not too much here. Just, you know, same old. We're already through the first month of the year. Can you believe that?
I know. Can you believe that? We're getting closer to tax time, too.
Yeah. And I thought this year was going really swell with my retirement funds. And then, you know, this last week of January was just insanity. So who knows?
Yeah, I'm kind of down a little bit. I'm letting everything calm down. And there's a couple reasons why it's that way. But I think we're going to get to that here in a second. But what are we going to do on this episode?
Well, I think we do have to chat a little bit about this GameStop and other crazy stock frenzy.
We have to violate one of your rules, right?
One of my rules, yes.
Okay.
And then we've got a handful of social media questions.
Awesome. Everybody's talking about one topic right now.
Yes, which is actually uniting the nation, because for the first time ever, Democrats, Republicans, and Elon Musk all agree on the same thing.
There you go.
Obviously. And in addition to Bernie Sanders looking cute at the inauguration.
Yeah, exactly. Between Bernie Sanders memes and now we have memes about GameStop.
Yes, this is the second topic of the month to unite the nation.
All right. So what we have, guys, is GameStop, which should be, in my opinion, bankrupt right now. Who the heck goes to GameStop to buy video games? Nobody.
I think it technically is bankrupt,
it is
right?
Bankrupt.
Like, it did file for bankruptcy, right?
Right, right. It's like the Radio Shack of video games. It should go away. When you buy video games, it's electronic. It's electronic delivery. Nobody goes buys a disc or a cartridge anymore.
Well, few people do. I mean, yeah. I think there are still some holdouts who actually have, you know, like Nintendos in their basements, right, and they need somewhere to get their games. But it's not... A large market that they have.
And they typically will go to Walmart or somewhere if they have to get it, or they just do an Amazon or something like that. So anyway, so GameStop, current stock as we're recording this over the weekend, because this is Tuesday, and we recorded over the weekend, is $350 a share, which makes zero sense, which is the purpose of what's happening by Reddit. Is what they're trying to show is these numbers are totally arbitrary. They mean nothing. And they're also trying to go against hedge funds who've been doing this for years. And they're trying to prove a point at the same time.
Right.
And because of that, the whole market, which is why I'm down, it's making everybody freak out.
Yeah. The whole market's reacting as well. So
what are your thoughts about this?
So I'm torn. So obviously, I guess. I think it's a bad idea, right? Like at some point the dominoes are going to fall.
Yeah.
So I think it's at this point, everyone is who's in on this squeeze. It's working because everyone's working together, but eventually somebody's going to lose faith and it's just going to start to fall very quickly. And a lot of people who are very excited right now as retail investors are, I personally believe a lot of people are going to get hurt. So if I were in it now, I don't know that I'd be so strong as to hold the line again and again. I'd probably be like, yeah, you know what? I just made thousands and thousands of dollars. I'm good. I'm out.
And the reason why you said hold the line is because of the Wall Street Bets group on Reddit. Yeah. That's what they repeat. Hold the line. Hold the line. Yeah. I thought it was going to drop on Friday. Initially it did because I used to do day trading in the last hour. They call it the power hour.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to drop and nobody in the right mind would hold on to this over the weekend. I would cash out. It started to go down and then the last 30 minutes, it went right back to 350. I'm like, I can't believe people are holding up over the weekend. But
Right. Anyway. But the other thing is, if you only put a few dollars into it and it's up, you know, tens of thousands of dollars, you're really not losing any money, if even if it goes down a bit, right?
Right.
So depending on when you bought in, if you bought in when it, you know, months ago when it was super cheap, then maybe I would hold the line, because what I usually have a long-term mindset anyway. So,
right.
Yeah.
So the whole argument of what they're doing is, some guy on Reddit in this group discovered that a hedge fund bought in 120% of the shares and was shorting it because they know they're going bankrupt and they're going to make money on it. This is what they've been doing for years.
Yeah.
A company publishes it. Cintron publishes that information. Someone on Reddit saw it and said, hey, Reddit, if we go in there and hold them, we can force these guys out of it because they're doing something technically, I wouldn't say illegal, but they're betting 120% of stocks, which does not exist. You can't have more than 100%.
Right.
And they're betting on it to do something to make a ton of money for their investors. And they're like, hey, if we go in there and we buy in, it's a squeeze is what they're doing. I won't get into technicalities of it. But basically, now we're at a stalemate. That price is sitting there. And of course, you're now listening to us on a Tuesday. We don't know what's going to happen between the time we record it and now. However, right now, nobody knows what to do. Everybody in the back rooms are trying, all the rich people are like, I don't know how we get out of this. Because every day that they can't sell and get out of this with their shorts, they're paying interest on the money. Meanwhile, the people that have bought all the shares and are not selling are making money. So it's like nobody knows what to do. And the whole stock market is going down. The bottom line for all this, people, for me, I'm not in it. I didn't want to get into it. Am I jealous? Yeah, I'm a little jealous, but it's always easy. What? Hindsight. It's always, yeah, I've looked at it when it was 80. I'm like, wow, I should get into that. I know you thought the same thing.
When I was 80, no. Even then, I thought, man, this is ridiculous. And then
I talked about it. I'm like, well, it can't go any higher than that. And sure enough, it did. But anyway.
Also, another funny story. My husband's had shares in American Airlines for probably the last 6 or 7 months. Mm-hmm. And it's done nothing. And so just a couple days ago, he sold it. The very morning that this Wall Street Bets decided to start pumping it up.
Oh, my God. What, American?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So he sold it the very wrong morning. He could have waited a day.
That really shows what we keep talking about, long-term mindset. Because if you miss out on the biggest days, that's what happens, right?
Yeah. So I mean, he should have never had it anyway. It was always a loser.
So bottom line, I mean, right now I'm losing a ton of money on the value. I didn't lose anything. It's on the value. If I sell, I lose. But if I leave alone, right now, everything's so wacky. I'm not touching a thing right now. That's my personal opinion. I'm staying out of all this nonsense. I'm not getting involved in it. I'm not going to change anything I have. I think it's a bad time to do anything until this calms down.
I also am not doing anything.
Yeah. So anybody that wants to jump in this, hey, hats off to you. In my opinion, at this point, everybody that made their move, they're in. If you're not in already, stay out.
Here's the difference here, Craig, is people who are doing this is gambling. It's not investing. Right. So I don't have an issue with it. If you want to get it and dip your toe into it, that's fine. As long as you are doing it, approaching it the same way as you would walking into a casino and putting money on the roulette table. Like, you have to be, and my husband and I talked about this too. It's like, if you want to get in and see if you can be part of the activity, that's fine. But it better be with money that you have earmarked for entertainment and not for your retirement fund. This is what you do with your retirement funds.
No.
So Craig and we focus on how to build wealth in your retirement fund. And that's why I have this rule against single stock investing and discussing, is because that's gambling, right? So if you want to build your retirement fund, that's one thing. If you want to gamble on these single stocks, that's a separate thing. And I don't have an issue with it. People can do it. Fundamentally, I'm not opposed to it. It's just, that is a different bucket of money.
And I also don't like stocks under $10.
Yeah.
Well, now it's above, but it doesn't make sense. It's not a correct valuation. And all these numbers are arbitrary anyway. This makes no sense, and I'm staying out of it. And yes, I'm jealous that people became millionaires in like a day or two. Totally jealous. There are people that now have $10 million.
I'm happy for them.
Yeah, that's fine. But remember,
people win the lottery all the time, too. That doesn't mean it's an investment.
And by the way, you can't sell these shares. No one's selling. So no right. one made anything. People have also lost millions because they're holding the line.
Right.
So, and there could be a problem where no one can sell anything. The government could just come in and say, SEC says, enough. Now you're like, now what? So yeah. Nobody knows. And I know everyone has articles. Everybody's got an opinion. I'm staying out of it. But anyway, long-term mindset, people. Please, these are sideshows. Stay out of the sideshows.
And you'll notice if people are attempting to post recommendations on single stocks or getting into this frenzy on our group page, we just don't have a tolerance for it. So that's not what our group is about. That's not what we're about. Fundamentally, I'm not opposed to it. It's just not what retirement investing is about.
Like I told you, because we don't do that, we will never be a huge group because we don't get involved in Vegas trading of stocks.
Yeah.
We don't. We're long.
There's a place for it, though. I mean, that's a different place.
We make millionaires is what we do. We don't gamble. So, and our way has been proven decades and decades and decades. Long-term mindset. It's super easy, but everybody wants fast money. And that's what this is. So, all right. I think we beat that one to death. Now, I will tell you, I know somebody that is in on this.
Yeah.
And he called me yesterday. Mm-hmm. My son.
Uh-oh.
He called me all excited. I'm like, what? He goes, hey, man, did you follow? I'm like, yeah. He goes, well, I bought some. I'm like, oh, no. He only bought, like, I think 3 shares or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
He made like $200. He's just,
good for him.
No, because he's a big Redditor anyway. He goes, at least he feels like he's part of the movement. He believes in the movement. Mm-hmm. And I kind of agree with the whole thing, too. It's money he can afford to lose.
Right.
Which is the way you were just saying.
So. Yes.
It was just a couple hundred bucks and bought 3, I think just 3 shares. No big deal.
Okay.
Yeah, just to be part of it. And I was thinking about doing the same thing, but I was going to buy it yesterday when it dropped to 2. And sure enough, we went to 350. I'm like, daggone it. Just a, like couple, just a, like under $1,000. Just a couple. Because I do have some entertainment leftover money from day trading. I was just going to throw it in there just for.
Right.
Anyway, what is our first question today?
First question is, I know we are supposed to get rid of credit card debt, but we have one credit card that normal expenses are on, such as utilities, gas, groceries, and car insurance. We pay it off at the end of every month, but keep it for the airline miles. Thoughts on getting rid of the card since we manage it? I think it depends on where you are in your baby step journey.
Yeah. I don't know how you feel about this. I'm not a fan of airline mile cards.
Because those are actually the worst in providing actual benefit.
Yeah, it takes so many points to get it. I know there's no blackout dates with some of the. It takes so many charges to get one ticket.
Tickets you're actually better expensive. Off picking. You're better off with a credit card that gives you cash back or some other benefit. The airline mile ones are actually the lowest on the totem pole in terms of rewards.
I mean, you have family getting ready to fly to Orlando, right?
Yeah.
And they're going on there for like $150 a ticket. Mm-hmm. So if people want to screw around with a credit card to try and pay for a $150 ticket, that's insane.
Yeah.
I do it for convenience because I have auto pay and stuff like that. And some things will not let me do it through the bank. So I have to do it with the credit card. So, and there's protections. So
I wouldn't do it for the points.
No.
That part does bother me. I mean, the miles or points or cash back, whatever you're getting, to me, that's a bonus and not the reason to use the card.
Right. Now,
but yeah, I do understand that it's like if you tried to pay your electric bill with cash, that's going to be very challenging.
Obviously, you have to go to a bank sometimes.
You can use a debit card, and that's what Dave Ramsey promotes is debit card only. But I also use a credit card, and I don't do it though because of any type of points or benefits like that.
Remember when I got a brand new heat pump?
Yes,
for my house cost. Like $12,000. I did it through Costco and I got a instant rebate from Costco. Mm-hmm. And then if I put it on the Costco card, I even got points for that, which is cash back is the way Costco works on their credit card. A Visa. Yeah. I just got my certificate. They're mailing out the certificate next few days. It's another $450.
There you go.
Mainly because of that one large purchase put on the credit card. obviously I could have written them a check or whatever, but I did not. I'm like, oh, let me take care of that benefit. It's a large purchase, cash back from Costco. So that made sense.
Yeah.
You know, playing that game. But otherwise, think about that though. $12,000 item to get 400 bucks. If you get a lot of small purchases, that would take a long time to.
Right.
So anyway, question number two. Oh, you're going to love this one.
Okay.
Is cryptocurrency currently good for reserve currency for emergencies? Basically for the emergency fund. I did baby step one. I'm working on baby step two. I think of mining crypto as a possible passive income.
Basically, oh my God.
I do not want to trade because I feel like it's a gamble. So wait a minute. Hold on a second. We don't want to trade stocks or trade crypto. Hold on. They don't want to trade cryptocurrency because they feel like it's a gamble. That is correct. Good job. Number two, mining of cryptocurrency. Do you know how this is done, Amanda? I'm going to get really simple. You need to buy a bunch of computers or motherboards. You have to buy a bunch of those high-end graphics cards, like NVIDIA graphics cards that gamers have.
Yes, please do. I have a lot of stock in NVIDIA.
Oh, yeah. So basically, what's going on now is there's a bunch of brand new gamer graphics cards that were just released by NVIDIA and AMD. The gamers can't get a hold of them because all the miners are buying them all up. So they can use them to mine for cryptocurrency like Bitcoin. What to make a Bitcoin, you need a bunch of computers working together and they're solving math problems. At some point, you make a Bitcoin electronically. That's how it works. Mm-hmm. The problem with that, it requires a ton of electricity. So people think they're going to make money by doing all this. As your electric bill's going through the roof, you have to actually live in a location that has the cheapest electricity, which is where all the miners are currently at. And you have to buy all the equipment. You have to run everything continuously. It's a pain in the butt.
And so you have to have the knowledge on how to do it.
Right. I mean, there's a guy posted a picture the other day. He has 80 brand new graphics cards, which cost about $1,000, $2,000 a piece on all these motherboards running together to make Bitcoin.
Oh, goodness.
No, don't do this as a passive income. No.
And don't put your emergency fund in Bitcoin.
No.
Like, if you could have seen me, my whole head came down into my hands.
Oh, my God. There's so much wrong with this.
Please don't. Just don't.
Between that and GameStop.
Well, people are looking for an easy buck. And guess what? That's not really how it works most of the time.
No. You may get lucky, but
there may be some luck involved, but you don't have a system for an easy buck, I promise you.
A lot of questions I see are based on people hoping to get quick money. They're trying to, or they waited too long to save money. Now they're trying to find, well, what's the fastest way I can fix this? Well, if it were that easy, we all would be doing that.
Yeah. So I liken this to, hey, you know what? I think I could go and on my own mine coal as my passive income.
Yes.
Like, no, you don't know anything about mining coal. And does that sound passive? No, there's a lot of work involved.
Or even gold. You ever watch a TV show on Discovery?
Yeah.
No, it looks difficult to get a little tiny chunk.
Yeah.
No. Can we move on? Because I'm getting a headache about this.
Please. Yeah. So I just want one last thing here. Sure. I do not want to trade because I feel like it's a gamble. Yes, that's also a gamble with your emergency fund. And my biggest pet peeve is when I see people in our group making suggestions to other people on putting their emergency fund into the stock market. Your emergency fund is just that. It's for emergencies. It's not for investing or gambling with. It's for saving. So you need to put it in a savings account, period.
And we're not making that up. That is the advice from Susie Orman, Dave Ramsey, any money guy that has a sense.
Or girl.
I'm sorry. Sorry about that. All set. I know it doesn't make sense. People are thinking, but it's not making money. It's not supposed to make money.
It's supposed to be there in case of an emergency because it's also not supposed to lose money.
Right. And if it's sitting there in a safe location, no, you don't lose money. So.
All right.
This is a tough one. All right, question number three. What's the difference? Here's an easy one.
Okay.
What is the difference between IRA and Roth IRA? Is it better to start an IRA, then go to the Roth IRA.
No. It's not better. So no. You should start with the Roth and stay with the Roth, because what you contribute, so Roth is just a fancy way of saying whether or not you've paid taxes on that money yet. So you want to pay taxes now and then contribute your money into a retirement account, because then it is taxed already and anything that you gain on it will not be taxed in the future. If you decide instead to put your money into a traditional IRA, then that means that you have not paid any tax on it yet, and instead you will be paying tax on any and all gains, whether it's hundreds of thousands of dollars or more, and that's when you're going to be paying the tax. So if you put it into an IRA now and then want to convert to a Roth IRA, you're going to have to pay tax on the amount of the gains at the point in time that you do that conversion.
There you go.
And that can be very expensive if you're doing it in a lump sum.
Awesome. All right. How about we take a quick break? We got a couple more questions coming up, and I will wrap it up. You're listening to Rock on the Money.
There, rock stars. Amanda here with ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Are you about to sell your home or excited to buy your first or next home? I'll be honored to help you find an expert to work with you in your local area. At ChoiceRealtyConnect.com, I'll help match you with up to 3 qualified licensed agents that specialize in your specific market. Choice Realty Connect serves every zip code in all 50 states with a network of 15,000 top-rated agents that are ranked within the top 5% for sales. Whether you're selling or looking for a condo, new construction, retreat, vacation property, or you're a first-time home buyer, let me connect you with the perfect top agent today. ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. The choice is yours.
Amanda Braun is a Florida licensed real estate with a brokerage, Realty Connect.
Rockland, USA.
With Amanda and Craig. Check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/rockonthemoney, or our website, rockonthemoney.com. Hey, I got a question for you.
Okay.
Question number 4. Do you have a more, I left this in here for you because you did a savvy savings on this. Do you have a more economical suggestion besides Audible to listen to books?
Yes. So you can listen to, so you can check out audiobooks for free with your local library if you have an account with your local library. There's also a website called LibriVox, so it's LibriV as in Victor OX.org, and they're free public domain audiobooks that you can read or listen to for free. But my recommendation is that you go the route of your local library.
Yep. And then they have that online website that gives you access to get movies, like on-demand movies, books, all that stuff you listed on that one Savvy Savings about your library.
Yes.
Which I had no idea. And I went to that website and I'm like, oh my God, it's like Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
It was amazing.
Simple. Yeah. And actually, I did find an article that has 14 websites where you can find free audiobooks online. And I can go ahead and post those in the show notes.
Awesome. Look at you. That's why you're Savvy Savings.
Well, what? I found it on this website called Google, so. So these are where you can find legal free audiobook options.
There you go. I was going to say, there's a lot of.
There are plenty of other places you can find illegal copies on the internet, but yeah, that's not
what we're saying. Please stay out of that, guys, because you're also susceptible to viruses and Trojans and.
And your local IP provider will send you a nasty letter in the mail saying that you've pirated information.
Yeah.
And then they'll cut off your internet.
Yeah. Comcast, all they're starting to really enforce that stuff, guys.
They do.
Yeah. They know everything that you do on the internet. You have no privacy with your provider. I think it's in the fine print.
Probably.
When you accepted service. Last question.
Okay.
What's an acceptable rate for a financial advisor?
Well, so Craig always asks this question first when someone asks about financial advisors. And can I paraphrase what you asked?
I know what you're going to say. Go ahead.
What makes you think you need a financial advisor? Go.
Winner, chicken dinner.
Yeah. So please elaborate, Craig.
A lot of people, I think, are just afraid that they don't trust the information that they heard, which is fine. They think they're going to make more money by going to a financial advisor. Actually, the reality of study after study shows you actually make less because they're going to charge you 1-4% moving forward. And sometimes financial advisors are also a licensed broker. And by law, they are allowed to give you advice and then quickly switch their hat to a broker, which means now they're a salesperson and then they're going to make a commission on the things that they just gave you advice on. The only way you know if the person that you're working with is a financial advisor and a broker is to go to investor.gov, put their name in there, and then you'll see their records. If they're just a financial advisor, you have a better chance of that not happening. So it's not that it's a bad thing. It is costing you money when that occurs.
Yeah.
But once again, why do you think you need one?
Yeah, I mean, so there are so much good information out there at your fingertips for you to be able to take the reins and control your own destiny, that it really is a very rare situation where someone actually needs a financial advisor.
When, in your opinion, I'm throwing this out without any notes, when do you think you would need a financial advisor?
So if I were making in the billions of dollars, I might consider having a financial advisor. Yeah.
Like if I won Powerball, which did not happen, or Mega Millions.
Yeah, I would definitely, then I might.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then but I might. But I would also not just go and pick one from.
No.
I would actually get someone who is independent and on their own and comes highly recommended for wealthy individuals.
Yeah. But when you're down for 90 some percent of America, 99%.
Yeah.
You're not part of the 1%. If you're down, you can pretty much do this on your own. There's no reason to really see a financial advisor. And you will actually make, we have people in our group who have not gone to certain advisors that they were with. And they are now doing it on their own. They went to Schwab, Fidelity, and Vanguard.
Financial advisor that you're working with recommends an annuity or something like that, then
run. That's a key that you know it's wrong, or whole life and all these other things.
I mean that's
just nonsense. Yeah. But
even that is a very rare situation where that would apply. Exactly. But even if I were making billions, I probably still wouldn't use a financial advisor. I'd be best of buds and joined at the hip with my tax advisor.
There you go. You know, if I was that rich, I could still put in index funds. I'm still making 8-10% per year on billions. You know how much money that is?
Yeah.
I mean, I thought about that the other day when Mega Millions and everything was running. I'm like, I think I just put in simple index funds, just live off the millions I'm making off of that every year. I mean, that's insane. If you do feel like you need an advisor, Amanda, I have no problem with them using the advisors at Vanguard, which only charges 0.3%.
Right.
Extremely low.
Yeah.
And they will work with you over webcam, come up with a plan. And they're not making any commissions on anything.
Yeah. If you are interested, and again, it's not what we advise, but if you have the type of wealth where you feel comfortable gambling some of it and are interested in single stocks, but you don't want to put the time and energy into researching all these single stocks, then I feel like, okay, it might be worth looking into an advisor who that's all that they specialize in and they're not making a commission off of it.
You mean not Wall Street bets on Reddit?
No.
Oh, they said buy GameStop, a bankrupt company, or AMC, or Doggy Coin. Okay. Mm-hmm. I have no interest in seeing a financial advisor. I do want to speak with a tax advisor and an accountant.
Yes.
Or one that does both.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, I would want to see
a legal advisor.
Right. I do want to see someone about setting up trusts and that sort of thing, but that's totally different.
That's your legal advisor.
That's my legal advisor. So as I set up my legacy, because my whole life right now is setting up legacy for my family tree moving forward,
I'm pretty sure I'm in your family now, right?
Oh, look at you. Wait a minute. I think you're going to have more than I will.
Okay.
Yeah. No, I'll be in your family tree.
There we go.
No, your family. Your family. All right. Thank you, Amanda.
You can find Amanda on Instagram and Twitter at Agile Amanda. And you can find me on all of your favorite social media platforms at Rockland USA. Don't forget, check out the website and subscribe to the podcast. All the links are right there on the front page, rockonthemoney.com. Please subscribe and leave comments to our podcast on Apple, Google, Spotify, or even your favorite app that you got right there on your phone. Those help us out a lot. If you're ever looking for a specific topic or content that we've produced over time, just go to the website and in the search bar, just type in your topic, be it 401k, stimulus check, or anything, and everything comes right up for you. We have so much gratitude that you've taken the time out of your day to listen to our podcast while you're walking, driving, traveling, or whatever you're doing. Please send us an email. Let us know how you're doing out there. podcast@rocklandusa.com. So long, everybody. Thank you very much again. We'll see you again next time. All opinions expressed by the host are solely their own and do not reflect the views of any company, affiliates, or advertisers. Investments or strategies mentioned in the show may not be suitable for you. Before acting on any information in the show, you should consider whether it is suitable for your particular circumstances and strongly consider seeking advice from your own financial or investment advisor.